I value the house of God. The house of God is like a spiritual hospital for those that are sick and those that are dying. It is a place where Christian soldiers get together and share victory stories. It's a place where we come and warm by the fire. I value the church of God, the house of God. The scripture says in Psalm 73 that my feet had well nigh slipped because I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, until I went into the sanctuary of the Lord. There is something about the house of God that brings enlightenment, that helps get rid of the delusion that the world is trying to put on us. Do you value the house of God today? The scripture says that I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than what? Dwell in the tents of the wicked? Do you value the house of God? I value the heritage that we have, saints. We have something rich and valuable. I think of the forefathers of faith. You think of Joseph. You think of Moses, Noah, Abraham, Elijah, Elisha. All of these men, do you value that? And then we go to the apostles and we go to the early morning church martyrs and even the men whose names are in our hymnal. What inspiration, what truth. It is something valuable that I treasure. And I believe the enemy of our souls would like to take that away from us. Can you imagine the sense of loss that the children of Israel felt when they saw the enemy soldiers come in and desecrate the temple? When they saw the temple being looted and the treasures of the house of God being carried away into a foreign land? Can you imagine the sense of loss that they felt? Can you imagine the sense of loss they felt when the Philistines had captured the Ark of the Covenant? Lord, what are we going to do? They were a demonstrative people. They were probably tearing their clothes and casting dust in the air. They were probably wailing. They've taken the Ark of the Covenant and set it up in their temple of the god Dagon. Lord, what are we going to do? The sense of loss. Well, the enemy would like for us to lose something today. But I believe we need to put a real value on the house of God. I would like to begin reading in Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah 56 and 1, thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness is to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. There is something about the house of God that allows the eunuch to be fruitful, that allows him to be a tree planted by the rivers of water, that allows a stranger to receive the same blessing as the sons and the daughters. The house of God is valuable. It is a place of refuge from this dark world. Do we value it this morning? For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house, and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him, and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain, and I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. I will give in mine house, in God's house, these great blessings. I appreciate the house of God today. It doesn't matter if you're a stranger or a son, or if you're a eunuch or a barren person, there is blessing in the house of God today. Now I would like to fast forward in time from this beautiful picture of the house of God to Jesus' time. Let's turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, Jesus came into the house of God in verse 15. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all people was astonished at his doctrine. My question for you is, how could the house of God have fallen so far? From being a place of blessing to being called a den of thieves. What a sense of loss. To the people that were spiritual, to the people that valued the Spirit of God coming down and anointing and meeting with us and blessing our souls and it being a place of healing, a place of comfort, to a den of thieves. Do you know what a den is? It is a place where illicit behavior takes place. In secret, hidden. And Jesus said, You have made it a den of thieves. Certain houses have certain reputations. What kind of reputation does a house of drinking have? Is it a place where you find Christian soldiers? You'll find holy men and women of God encouraging one another in the Scriptures? Or is it a place of foul language, dirty jokes, riotous living, drunkenness, fights breaking out? The house of drinking has earned its reputation, hasn't it? Houses earn their reputations. Let's turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 and verse 31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and it stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. The house of drinking. This is its reputation. What about a house of movies? Do you believe that the people that go to the movie house are going there for pure motives? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Do you think that people go to the movie house to see God because their hearts are pure and clean? Or do they go to feed on the violence, to feed on all that wickedness, the sensuality, the language, the corruption? They're drinking that in the house of movies. But blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The Scripture says in Proverbs 15 and 14, The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Foolishness. That's what they're feeding on. in the house of movies. Here in Oklahoma, we've had an outbreak of the house of gambling. You'll see these large casinos. You'll see high-rises way out in the country to accommodate all the people, high-rise hotels, because the house of gambling is so popular. What kind of folks do you think you're going to find in a house of gambling? Is there a reputation that goes with that house? Is it a responsible family man, brings home the money, supplies all the needs of the family? You know, there are people that go there and spend their paycheck there, and the family's hungry. The children don't have adequate clothing. The house is in foreclosure, and that's where they're headed, to the house of gambling. What about the house of sports? What kind of reputation does this place have? Here in Oklahoma, we have the reputation of being very loud. The Thunder team, that's what I heard. They're so loud, the fans there. Is it a place of godliness, of meekness? The meek shall inherit the earth. I believe it is a place of emulation, which is listed in Galatians 5 as being one of the works of the flesh. Emulation is an envious and contentious rivalry, jealousy. That is the house of sports. What kind of reputation does the house of God have? What kind of reputation do you think we ought to have? Is it the house of prayer? In the house of God, we should have a great reverence. Do you believe that? There is a mindset in the religious world today, just come as you are. Just be how you want to be in the house of worship. I believe it ought to be a place where we come with great reverence. I don't believe in just be however casual you want, relax and just come as you are type mentality. I don't believe that. I believe in reverence. Reverence is fear mingled with respect and esteem, which produces in us an inclination to His service and an unwillingness to offend Him. What if we all came together today in this building, and instead of there being a person up here, there was God Almighty? Wouldn't we have some reverence? Do we reverence the house of God this morning? The house of God ought to be a place where our hearts are filled with awe, fear, dread, inspired by something great or terrific. That should be the house of prayer. A place of solemnity. Zion was called the city of solemnities, where saints solemnly assemble together for religious worship, where the word of God is solemnly preached, and where ordinances are solemnly administered, and the sacrifices of prayer and praise are solemnly offered up. What kind of reputation does the house of God have today? The house of God should be a place of rejoicing and praise. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's appropriate in the house of God. I don't believe you're going to hear that when the team makes a touchdown. I believe you're going to hear, kill the opposition. We're going to crush you. One thing I do appreciate about one of my brethren, he sure says hallelujah in the services, and I think you know who he is. I appreciate that. That's appropriate in the house of God. Rather than rejoicing over a touchdown, let's rejoice someone just got delivered from a life of sin. A marriage is going to be healed. Children are going to have a godly father now. Praise the Lord. The house of God. Do we have a reverence for it? Do we appreciate it? Do we see it as a place where God comes down and meets with His people? The house of God should be a place of weeping. It's a time that strong men need to let some tears flow from time to time. There are unsaved children out there. Lord, have mercy. It is a place where people ought to be wetting the altar with their tears. God, have mercy on me. Forgive my sins. That's the house of prayer. It's valuable. It's appropriate. There are bodies that need healing. God, have mercy. Oh, the house of prayer is valuable. Do the houses of worship today truly earn the title house of prayer? If Jesus were to come back and walk through some of these houses of worship today, what do you think he would say about them? In churches across the English-speaking world, bingo is one of today's most popular fundraisers. With affordable startup costs and easy revenue and low-key fun, this classic game is the perfect way for your church or religious group to collect a steady stream of charitable income. The caller can make the calls lively with rhymes like B11, we're going to heaven, or B5, better look alive. It's up to you how you'd like to price your bingo event. Some churches like to charge a flat fee for the night, while others sell cards individually to players. In either case, the church generally keeps a percentage of the take, using the rest as prize money for the players. My house shall be called a house of prayer. And you've made it a den of thieves. Let's wake up. I'm not saying we're doing that. But do you see how far it goes? What a sense of loss. Gambling for Jesus. God, have mercy. Wake up. Where's our respect for God? Proverbs 28 and 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Making haste to be rich sounds like gambling to me. One time I went to a house of worship, sectarian place, and I went inside the building and they had televisions on the wall. I was amazed. Television. The filthiness of Hollywood in a place of worship. It seems like we are in a TV everywhere society. You go to the restaurant, television's on the wall. You get in your vehicle, they've got movies available if you can't wait to get home and watch TV. People have televisions in their living rooms, in their bedrooms, in their kitchens, in their bathrooms. And now, should I say in the house of God? How do you think God feels? Where is our society's respect for the eternal God of heaven? Have mercy on us, God. Come out of her, my people. This house of worship was capable of producing a rock show. They had light show equipment. They had musical instruments up there for a band. They could have turned it into a dance hall. And my house shall be called a house of prayer. I would like to look again at Jesus going into the temple in John chapter 2. John chapter 2 and verse 13, the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. and said unto them that sold the doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. The passion of the house of God, it has motivated my life. It has consumed me. I feel passionate about that. What are you doing bringing in thievery into the house of God? What are you doing making the house of God a dance hall? Bringing in gambling. What are you doing? This is my zeal in life. This is my passion. Is the way Jesus felt about it. How do we feel about it today? The house of God. One of the Bible commentators wrote it this way. Speaking of the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Wicked men, conscience smitten, will tremble when they see proper zeal in the ministers of Jesus Christ. And there is no combination of wicked men and no form of depravity that can stand before the faithful, zealous, pure preaching of the gospel. The preaching of every minister should be such that the wicked men will feel they must either become Christians or leave the house of God or spend their lives there in the consciousness of guilt and the fear of hell. The house of God is a place where God comes down and meets with us. And yes, it stirs fear and awe. It is also a place of restoration. I would like to look at Jesus' assessment of various houses of prayer in chapter Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, sorry, starting with verse 1, chapter 1, verse 10, Revelation 1 and 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And I turned to see the voice, verse 12, that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things which he saith, he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden sticks, I know thy works, and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. This is an evaluation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings himself. Verse 8, And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, but are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days, but be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. I notice the Lord said in commending the churches, I know how you cannot bear them that are evil. He spoke that commending them. You have tried the false apostles and found them to be liars. He did not say, I commend you for your great sensitivity, for your diversity in the ministry. The worldly philosophy today in dealing with people that have the problem of homosexuality Instead of reforming that person, instead of pointing that person to becoming a new creature in Christ, having their lives cleaned and being delivered and set free. The world's philosophy today is embrace who you are. Accept yourself. The Lord did not commend them for embracing who they were, these false apostles. He did not commend them for that, for their sensitivity, for their multiculturalism. But He commended them because He valued His house of prayer, that they stood against those things. They did not accept them. Now, how is it that the house of God could have gone from a house of prayer described in the Old Testament to the condition that it was in the day that Jesus came and drove the thieves out of the temple? Tolerance for corruption and leadership is one of the ways that that could happen. When you go to someone's house, you should respect their house. There are various cultures in the world where when you go to the house, you take your shoes off. That's respecting the house. That's the rule of the house. And when I go to that house, I want to comply. What are the rules here? I don't want to offend your culture. I want to be in subjection to what this house is. How much reverence do we have for the house of God today? The Jews have a great reverence for their house of prayer. Next to the Dome of the Rock in Old Jerusalem is the Western Wall, known as the Wailing Wall. It's called the Wailing Wall because it's claimed Jews come here to mourn the destruction of Solomon's temple. But they also come here to pray, and on the Sabbath, the place is packed with worshipers. The wall is the only remaining structure of the ancient temple of Jerusalem created by King Solomon. The wall itself is thought to be the closest point to the temple's holiest room, the Holy of Holies. And the Jews come from around the world to weep and to pray at this wall. Respect for their house of prayer from around the world. The Muslims have a respect for their house of prayer. They take their shoes off before they go in the mosque. I was on a United Emirates flight owned by a Muslim country. And on the screen, it shows your progress on the map, your elevation, outside air temperature. And I noticed on the screen, it kept flashing up the direction to Mecca. Devout Muslims are supposed to pray 5 times a day. And direction matters. They are supposed to pray toward Mecca. They had some Muslims incarcerated in Europe. And out of respect for the Muslims, they put on the prison wall a directional arrow so they would know which way to face to pray toward Mecca. Later, they discovered they'd made a mistake. The arrow was in the wrong direction. I don't think it really mattered. I'm not here to advocate Islam or Judaism, either one. Both of them deny the divinity of Christ. They are both false religions. But I do acknowledge their respect for their house of prayer. And I want to challenge us today, what kind of respect do we have for the house of God? Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God. Keep thy foot. Be careful what you do. And be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth. And let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in the earth, and thou upon the earth. God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. The house of God is no place for jokes and comedy. We received a flyer in our mailbox from a local megachurch in Edmond. Christian comedian coming to our church. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Where is our respect? Are we going there to be entertained and get a few giggles for the evening? Get our minds on some lightness. The house of God is not a place to air personal grievances. That's a lack of respect for the house of God. It is not a place to express anger at other people. I want to share the difference in testifying for the Lord versus testifying for the devil. Here is a testimony for the devil. Someone did me wrong. And here is a testimony for the Lord. Someone did me wrong, but I forgave. I have the victory. The Lord helped me. You see the difference? How much respect do we have for the house of God? At Oklahoma City, we're like family. We're comfortable. We're a small congregation. And I like that heart-to-heart prayer meeting. But let's be careful we don't get so comfortable that in our prayer meetings, we're telling the interesting things that happened to us in the week. Remember, keep thy foot when you're in the house of God. Let your words be few, because maybe there are some folks there that, although they care about you, they don't want to hear all the details of your week. And saints, please don't get me wrong. I love you. I appreciate saints being willing to testify. I appreciate the heart-to-heart, the love one for another, feeling like a family. And there's a part of that mixed in, but the point is our testimony should have spiritual content. And we need to be careful that we're not just rambling and going on and on and on. And maybe there's somebody there who is a visitor or who is tried by patience. They don't have as much patience for a lot of details. So, Lord, help us to respect the house of God. Exhortations must be led of the Lord. I have heard wonderful exhortations that moved me. That were inspired by God, that probably moved sinners to make the difference in whether or not they made the move for the Lord that time. I have also seen exhortations kill the anointing of the Spirit of God when the Word of God went forth richly and under the anointing of the Spirit, and there was conviction on the crowd, and the song service matched perfectly, and then there was exhortation after exhortation after exhortation. And rambling, and people started looking bored. God help us to respect the house of God. If the Lord lays an exhortation on your heart, be it far from me to stand in your way. But God help us that we sense the moving of the Spirit and move with the Spirit and not kill it. In my years of observing the saints and their services and the dealings of the Lord with us, the Lord, it has been my observation that generally it is the singing altar call service, the singing itself, that is more effective than a lot of exhortation. It is better to leave people hungry for more than have them leave wishing they had heard less. One time, Paul went to Antioch and he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what they asked him at the end of the service? We want you back next Sunday. Or next Sabbath, whenever it was. We want you back. And said the whole city came out to hear him. He left them hungry for more. Let your words be few. Be careful. Look around at the audience from time to time. People look like they're going to sleep. Maybe a good time to say amen. You remember the story of the two men that went up into the temple to pray. Lord, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. Oh, Lord, I thank You that I'm not like them, even as this publican over here. Why, I give tithes of all that I possess. I imagine he waited till there was an audience around to hear this prayer. I fast twice in the week. What kind of respect did he have in the presence of God Almighty? God could see in that hypocrite's heart. But the publican wouldn't lift up his eyes. He knew he was in the presence of God. He knew he had sin in his life. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The house of prayer should have some tears in it. Hardened men should soften their hearts. It's a good thing for a man to cry once in a while. There's something about the house of God. When we're in the presence of the Almighty. Oh, the value of prayer. 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles chapter 6, verse 12. Solomon in the dedication prayer of the temple. And he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hand. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold. End of the verse. And kneeled down upon his knees before the congregation of Israel and spread his hands toward heaven. And said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepest covenant, and shewest mercy unto Thy servants, and walk before Thee with all their hearts. Verse 19, have respect therefore to the prayer of Thy servant, and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which Thy servant prayeth before Thee, that Thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night. Solomon had respect for the house of God. This is the place that God sees us. God, we need You here. Respect Your house. That Thou wouldest put Thy name there to hearken unto the prayer which Thy servant prayeth toward this place. Verse 21, hearken therefore unto the supplications of Thy servant and unto Thy and of Thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear Thou from Thy dwelling place, even from heaven. When Thou hearest, forgive. Don't we need forgiveness? Don't we need God to hear us? Lord, hear us when we come to the house of God. If a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before Thine altar in this house, then hear Thou from heaven, and do and judge Thy servants. Verse 24, and if Thy people be put to the worse before the enemy, don't we need the Lord in the battles of life? Lord, if I'm losing the battle, I need a place of refuge. I need a place where I can get a hold of God. We need You, Lord, because they have sinned against Thee and shall return and confess Thy name and pray and make supplication before Thee in this house. Then hear Thou from heaven. Verse 26, when the heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against Thee, yet if they pray toward this place, then hear Thou from heaven. We need You, Lord. Verse 29, then what prayer or supplication soever be made of any man, Or of all thy people Israel, when everyone shall know his own sore and his own grief, shall spread forth his hand in this house, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and render unto every man according to his ways. Verse 32, moreover, concerning the stranger, which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country for thy great name's sake, and thy mighty hand and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house, then hear thou from heaven. Oh, we need God. We need Him to hear in the house of prayer. Do we value it today? The enemy would like to take this away from us. Prayer is so valuable. Do you remember when Saul was sent to, I believe it was Ananias? And Ananias said, Lord, I've heard about this man. He's killing the saints. Do you know what the Lord told Ananias? Behold, he prayeth. He was doing some praying. He was fasting and praying 3 days. There is something about prayer that has power, that has value, that we need in this world. Our eternal souls are at stake. The marriages of our children are at stake. The salvation of our children is at stake. The healing of bodies. Our nation is turning its back on God. The public schools, the judges of the land. We need God. We need a house of prayer where God will meet with us. Do we respect it today? Do we appreciate it? How much do we appreciate it? We were in Kenya in August. It was their annual meeting. And a lady didn't have money to get transportation, so she walked for 10 hours. When she got there, she fainted from weakness. How much value do we place on the house of prayer? Prayer meeting night, look at all the cars in the parking lot. There is a trend that troubles me. It is a meeting elimination trend. Not too many people are showing up for afternoon service. And other folks are out doing other things. What do you think? Should we continue afternoon service or not? I'm troubled. How can you sit at home on a Sunday night, close the chapel doors, forgive me, maybe you don't have a minister in your congregation or something, but I want us to value the house of prayer. I tell you, I'd feel guilty. Oh, you saints are just preaching to each other. Get out there and evangelize the world. Where do you think we get fired up to do it? In the house of prayer. Do we value it? Do we treasure it? Do you know how long camp meetings lasted in the old days? Anybody want to guess? We have a 10-day camp meeting. That's a long one. They had 5 or 6 weeks. And they had results. I'm not saying we do that, but I'm saying let us value the house of prayer. If the doors are open, where do we want to be? Don't let the hand say of the foot, I have no need of thee. I don't need to show up at church service. I can get it right here at home. I heard or read a story of a minister many years ago who went to see a former member of the congregation that quit attending. And it was a cold day, and there were coals in the fireplace. Apparently the man had that attitude, I don't need it. I can get mine at home. Minister went over to the coals and started spreading them apart. What are you doing? You're going to put the fire out. That's the whole idea. We need each other. I don't know how many times I've gone to prayer meeting, not felt so good, been out in the world and the oppression of the world and maybe discouragement of the enemy. The news of the world's troubling, and go away from prayer meeting just refreshed and encouraged? There is something valuable about the house of prayer. The Scripture says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. And so much the more when? When times are nice like they are now? No. When you see the day approaching. I see it. I see dangerous times. I think I need prayer meeting all the more now. Instead of neglecting the house of prayer, putting a light esteem on it, let us be as it says in Psalms 122 and 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. How do you feel about it? It's a place of healing. Oh, it's valuable. I want to be there. It is the place where the angel troubles the water. It's the place where God will hear prayer, where His Holy Spirit comes down among us, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. Let us value the house of prayer. Amen.